Daniel feel welcome as he comes and ministers to us again tonight. Praise the Lord.
Amen. That's exciting. Right, new car. I like that. Unexpected. You know, it surprises us, but it's no surprise to God. Heard some Lester Sumrall, I believe, made the statement, what's a miracle to us is just God being God. It's none for him to just, if he owns the cattle on the Thousand Hills, and I think cattle run for like 4,000 or 5,000, maybe more per cattle and per whatever in Missouri. So think about the Thousand Hills of cattle God owns. Hey man, how many want more of that? How many want to receive what God has tonight? Oh, thank you, Lord. Go to Revelation 22 if you have your Bibles. And while you're turning there, you know, it's something that Pastor Greg made that statement because I was thinking the same thing today. You know, you make ministry, you make, you know, ministry acquaintances, people you know, but I thought the same thing. I thought, I consider Pastor Greg a friend, and so I appreciate everything. And Debbie's been so nice. She learned some new things from Debbie. She taught me how to like cabbage and potatoes. Hey, that's a big deal. Y'all don't understand. And she taught me how to do my laundry. I thought I knew how to do it. She said, what are you doing? Hit this button. It'll figure it out. I said, I got to put the water in there first. She said, you want to lock up on you? Put the clothes in. I said, all right, Miss Debbie, I'll do it. But I really appreciate them and their hospitality and letting me spend the week in their home. And appreciate my friend Butch, Pastor Butch, coming all the way down from over, whichever direction it is, from Frostburg. And I appreciate this church. You know, I'd have never thought a year ago, this last Sunday when I had the opportunity to preach here, that North Carroll Assembly becomes so close and near to my heart. And this is a church I do think about a lot throughout the year, pray for, and get excited when I get the opportunity to come. So I really appreciate your pastor. And I know you are blessed to have such an amazing pastor and wife who care for their congregation, care for this community. And so I appreciate y'all and thank you so much. Hallelujah. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you all so much for everything, your generosity, your hospitality, making me feel right at home. And I think I've said it, but my whole life, for some reason, I want to come to Maryland, and I think I've arrived, having come here. And so I really appreciate this. And I've really thoroughly enjoyed, and I know not everyone's had the opportunity to be at the morning sessions, but the morning services and Bible study, and hope you all learned some. I learned a lot of things and was challenged in that time of prayer. Isn't it something when we just gather in the name of the Lord, and he shows up every time? And I thank God. I feel much of what has been accomplished in these services have been a result of us waiting on the Lord in the morning. Well, it was intended to be in the morning, but in the afternoon. As we prayed, the 15-minute prayer time ended up being 30 to 45 minutes every day. But I thank God for what he's doing. And I want to talk to you tonight, you know, for those of you who cannot have the opportunity to be here because of work or various reasons. I want to look at the coming of the Lord tonight. And you know, it's something I've spoken on a couple times this week, starting Sunday morning, but we are getting so, so very close. My pastor in Missouri, he said his dad used to tell him, you haven't preached until you preached on the second coming. And I do believe that's for us because I believe Jesus is coming soon. Amen. It's my conviction that Jesus is coming again. And, you know, we read throughout all of Revelation this week, Revelation 1 all the way to 22. And I want to look right at the end of chapter 22, verse number 20. Jesus speaking to John, he said, he who testifies these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Say that, surely I'm coming quickly. John said, amen, even so, come Lord Jesus. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Are you looking forward to that day when the Lord descends from heaven with a shout? With the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God and the dead in Christ rise first, then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm so anticipating that day when Jesus comes back. And it's a day I've heard about my entire life, as I'm sure many of you who maybe have been in church for a number of years have heard about the coming of the Lord. And it's something that as Christians we ought to anticipate and look earnestly and seek earnestly for. Jesus said, I've come to give gifts to all them who look for my appearing, who love my appearing. How many love and are looking for the appearing of Jesus Christ? And I want to talk two aspects of the coming of the Lord, and I want to spend more time on the second. But the first thing I want to look at tonight quickly is his physical coming, because he is going to return in the clouds physically. I do believe that with everything inside of me, that Jesus is physically going to return. And we looked at that in the last couple days, and I think Pastor mentioned while I snuck out of the room for a few minutes that there are papers back there giving an outline of what we went over, a very brief outline of what we went over the last 3 days. However, we know this one thing, and Jesus, it's not only a promise that we read from the apostles or the writers of the New Testament, but it's a promise that Jesus left us with. And when Jesus makes a promise, he is sure to fulfill that what he said he was going to do. And in Jesus said in Revelation chapter 22, surely I am coming quickly. Hallelujah. Ooh, doesn't that do something to you on the inside when we think of that word quickly? And when you look throughout church history, it has been the imminent return of Jesus Christ. That word imminent means that it could happen at any moment. And it's been the imminent return of Jesus Christ that has inspired people and called people to evangelism, called people to witness, called missionaries all around the world in early 1900s when the Azusa Street Revival broke out in Los Angeles, California. They said people just right then and there started leaving, going all over the world to see people get saved, because we read that this return of the Lord is coming so close. And as we were reading throughout Revelation this week and studying and see all the negativity, and negativity's putting it lightly, of those who have to endure the tribulation, I was thinking this afternoon of some relatives of mine who I need to start praying for more than ever to get right with God. Some friends of mine who I need to pray more to get right with God, because he is going to return again. He said in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27 and 28, that is appointed unto man once to die, then after that the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sin of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, unto salvation. Hallelujah. And we have the hope that at the rapture of the church of Jesus Christ, which is the catching away of the body of Christ, that Jesus is going to come back and we are going to go with him. There's a song that I heard. It says, I believe the time is nearing. We'll soon see his appearing. But this could be the hour and this could be the day when the saints of every nation will lose their gravitation, in the middle of the air will be caught away. And I believe he's coming back just like he said. I believe that a trumpet's going to sound so loud, one day it'll wake up the dead. In the twinkling of an eye, he'll split the eastern sky. And I believe that he's coming back like he said. How many believe that God is coming back just as he promised he was going to do? Hallelujah. And in these last days, there's many who question and say, where is the promise of his coming? Scoffers are coming in these last days. And though the return of the Lord has been delayed, we will not be denied, because Peter said the Lord is not slack or slow concerning his promise to return, but he's giving men time to repent. Hallelujah. And as Christians, we ought to pray and ask God to let people come and experience the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and let their lives be turned around, because when the trumpet sounds, I want to be a part of the body of Christ that goes to be with the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. Talk about freedom. We sang a song in Missouri when it said, goodbye, 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 hallelujah, I'm gone. When we see Jesus coming in the clouds, goodbye, hallelujah, I'm gone. How many are looking forward to that day when we see Jesus coming in the clouds? Praise the Lord. And we can't help but get excited to have the knowledge that he's coming again. Amen? Tell somebody, he's coming again. He is coming again. And I don't think our minds can quite comprehend what that day is going to be like. Amen? Oh, thank you, Lord. I remember as a child, my brother one time looking out the window, and he said, Mom, wouldn't this just be a great day for the Lord to come back? And the thing about the rapture is it's nothing as Christians to be afraid of. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 4, verse number 18, 1 Thessalonians 4, 18, rather, wherefore comfort one another with these words, speaking of the rapture. The rapture are words of comfort. You know, I remember as a child being deathly afraid of the rapture. Would anybody else have that fear as a child of missing the rapture? I remember hearing sermons as a kid and thinking, oh God, I do not want to miss that thing. I want to be a part of it. I remember I remember as a kid, my brother would say that, wouldn't this be a great day for the Lord to come back? As a child, I thought, Stephen, stop talking about that, because I don't want to be left behind, because I didn't have that knowledge that I will go in the rapture when the Lord comes, as long as my life is right with Him. If I've been born again, if I'm a believer, if I'm a follower of Christ, I will be the one that goes with Him, and I will escape the tribulation, and then I will come back riding with him on a white horse. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to rule and reign with Christ forever and ever and ever here on this earth. Hallelujah. The best days of the body of Christ are not behind us, but the best days of the body of Christ are ahead of us. Hallelujah. And in the perplexity, Paul said, we're troubled on every side, but we are not perplexed, distressed, but not in despair. Sometimes persecuted, but not abandoned. We may be cast down, but we are not destroyed, because as the body of Christ, as this world gets worse, things get better for the church. Hallelujah. Because we are seeing the stage is set. Hallelujah. And this could be the day. This could be the hour when the trumpet sounds and the church of Jesus Christ is caught up together in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. Woo, shatana masandai. Isn't it exciting? I can get beside myself thinking about it. Hallelujah. Ooh, just thank Him for a minute. Just tell Him, thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hila makuramba shatala masanda ena makatayena namasanda la 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 mahandai. John said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. He was talking about His physical coming. But I also want to look at a second aspect of His coming, and that's His spiritual coming. And I know I've emphasized it a couple times this week, but I want to just felt led this afternoon in prayer to close out this revival, reminding ourselves that until He returns physically, He wants to return spiritually. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to experience the glory of God. Amen? And I've been in church my entire life, all 23 years of it. I remember, I was a very observant child in church. I mean, most kids were playing. I played a little bit, but a lot of times I really was paying attention, and I was listening. And I especially loved, you know, when I was a kid, we called it song service. I loved the song service or the worship service. And at my home church, when I was real little, you know, it was one of those commands that Jesus forgot to write. But we had to sing two songs out of the songbook and then three or four choruses. You know, we had to sing a couple hymns. And I remember singing those hymns, and I fell in love with them as a child. I remember singing Some Glad Morning, When This Life Is O'er, I'll Fly Away. The first song I ever played as a special in church when I think I was 12 years old was When We All Get to Heaven, page 539, the key of C. I'll never forget it. Because I practiced for a year on it, and I still messed up. But I was always a little confused as a kid at church sometimes, because we'd sing these songs. And I remember, you know, our church really started having revival, and we were in a move of God. And we were singing the newer songs. At the time, newer songs were Come Now Is a Time to Worship and stuff like that. And I remember we'd start dancing and all and shouting and praising God on those songs. And then I remember one time we sang I'll Fly Away, and I wanted everything inside of me to get up and start dancing. And I thought, I don't know if I can do that, you know, because this is I'll Fly Away. This isn't the newer stuff. And I remember my pastor's wife saying, Daniel, it's okay to clap your hands and get up and praise the Lord. But, you know, there was kind of this idea, and I saw it with my eyes, you know, not just something I heard, but we'd sing these songs like When We All Get to Heaven, what's it say? What a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing. But it's like sometimes people were waiting until they got to heaven to sing and shout the victory. You know, it was like they weren't going to sing and shout the victory here on earth because we're going to wait till we get to heaven. Remember they sang a song one time, everybody will be happy where? Over there. And it was like people sometimes were waiting until they got over there to get happy. Saw a lady one time sing Joy Unspeakable, and she looked angry. And I thought, maybe we were talking about different joys. But when I read about this, and I think about heaven, what gets so exciting is, and now we're Pentecostal, amen? How many are Pentecostal out there? If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're Pentecostal. And if you come to this church, I'm assuming you're comfortable with Pentecost, to say the least. But as Pentecostals, there's such a greater, and I'm speaking for myself, as a Pentecostal, I get so excited that I'm going to heaven because I get to experience a little bit of heaven here on earth. Hallelujah. And my prayer tonight is, God, until you come physically, don't just come spiritually for a little bit then leave, but make this a place, as Isaiah 63, I believe it is, a place of your habitation. Hallelujah. How many want God to make this a place of His habitation? Not His visitation, but His habitation. I don't want God just to visit every now and then. I want God to make Himself comfortable here in this place. And I want this to be the place where God says, I want my glory to dwell here at this house. Hallelujah. And when we think about heaven, He said in verse number Revelation 21, verse 22, I saw no temple in New Jerusalem, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon or to shine in it, for the glory of God was the light of that city, and the Lamb is its light. And all the nations of those who were saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory and honor to it. Its gates shall not be shut all by day, because there will be no night. Hallelujah. It said there's no sun or moon to light that city, for the Lamb of God is the light of that city. And how many want the Lamb of God, the glory of the Lord, to enlighten our lives, and we can become the light of the world as we are called to be? Hallelujah. The prophet Isaiah said, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. Hallelujah. And every time we get in the glory of the Lord, we ought to be filled up. And you know, Sherry made the statement about the world sucking it out of us. How many want God to fill what the world tries to take? Hallelujah. And when we get in God's presence, when we get in the glory of the Lord, hallelujah, we are able to adequately spread the message of Jesus' love to this world. Hallelujah. And we can take the light of God into a darkened world. Praise God. But it happens as we pray, fast, worship, and seek an outpouring of the Spirit like we've never seen before. Hallelujah. And it's my conviction that God wants to send revival. My pastor told me in Missouri, he said, we were talking one day about the Lord and the Holy Spirit. He said, Daniel, the Holy Ghost is looking for landing strips. Meaning, think about that. The Holy Spirit's looking for places to land. Hallelujah. But it's up to us if we're going to be the people who allow the Holy Spirit to come. Because God does have a plan for revival. And revival is more than Sunday through Wednesday church. Coming for a couple meetings. Hallelujah. No, revival is where the glory of the Lord dwells. Hallelujah. And people come and they are changed and set free. When you look at great revivals in time past, they weren't just a couple days, but it was years. And not necessarily service every night, but years of just the presence of God dwelling. I think about the Azusa Street revival, for instance, when the Holy Spirit came in Los Angeles, California. They started off in a little house, and so many people filled into that house that the porch caved in as they were trying to get in the presence of God. So they moved into an old warehouse, an old church that was meeting in a warehouse, and for over 2 years they met there, and the glory of God dwelled. Hallelujah. And it brought light. It brought down racial division. It brought down poverty lines. It closed all that stuff down as the presence of the Lord was distributed and deposited in the United States. And from there, we are still recipients of an outpouring of the Holy Ghost that took place. And my prayer is, God, should you delay your coming much longer? We need revival to be poured out. We need the Holy Spirit to be poured out. Hallelujah. Not just good church, but a revival where blinded eyes are opened, a revival where deaf ears hear, a revival where addicts get set free, a revival where people get saved. The worst of sinners who you'd never imagine would darken the door of a church. Hallelujah. That's the kind of salvations we need to start seeing. Hallelujah. But it requires a church who will fervently pray and fast and say, God, we're not satisfied with anything ordinary, but what we want you to do is to open up the skies, hallelujah, and to fall down like rain in our midst. Praise the Lord. And in prayer this afternoon, I feel God is calling North Carroll Assembly. I feel it in my spirit right now. There's about to be a revival hit this place. Oh, listen to me. I'm not just preaching. I'm prophesying tonight. There's about to be a revival breaking this house. Hallelujah. And you're going to see peace. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Hallelujah. The best is about to come. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors. For the King of glory shall come in. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. If I were you, I'd get excited. Because I'm not talking about church down the road. God's talking about this church. Hallelujah. This place. God has a plan for revival. But it requires a people who will pray for revival. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm sure we could all quote it together. But if my people, who are what? Called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Verse 15, now my eyes will be opened and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. You see the plan? He'll heal our land. He'll forgive our sin. He'll make this a place. He'll choose this place, and he'll dwell in this place perpetually. That means continuously. But what's the first line? If my who? People. The plan for revival is null and void without a people who will welcome revival. How many tonight would say, Daniel, I want to welcome? That was pretty good. Let me ask again. How many say, Daniel, I want to welcome? Hallelujah. We were in Sunday school Sunday morning. I think it was Pat that made the statement. You know, when you go to the father's house, when she went to her father's house, she'd get in the refrigerator. You could go in wherever you want to because you had free reign in that house. Well, how many would say, God, we want you to have free reign in this house? Hallelujah. Sometimes we let him just in the back door, sit on the back row. That way at least he was there and we can say, well, Jesus showed up. No, I want God to have free reign. Hallelujah. To walk these altars. Praise the Lord. To walk the platform during worship. To walk the Sunday school rooms. Hallelujah. To walk the Royal Ranger House. Praise God. All over this campus where God makes this a place of his habitation. And the thing is, God wants to do that. He has a plan for that, but he needs a people who will pray. And praise, hallelujah, because praise is what sets the atmosphere. Praise the Lord. Praise is what sets the tone. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse number 13, it said, when the priests and Levites, it came to pass when the trumpets and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in thanking and praising the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, his mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, so strong the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. And as we commit ourselves to a lifestyle of praise, who will say, I'll bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's not about just praising and worshiping the Lord in the good times, but it's in the good and the bad times, saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, worship his holy name. Hallelujah. And if we live a life that will continuously praise the Lord, like the praise that is going on in heaven, I believe a little bit of heaven will spill over here on earth. And as we commit a life to prayer, prayer without ceasing, that's what he says. He said, pray without what? Ceasing. Prayer is more than clocking in every day and doing your time in prayer. Amen. And I think sometimes we look at it like that. Well, I need to get my hour done. I need to get my third. No, that's not prayer. Prayer is a lifestyle of just opening up your mouth and saying the name of Jesus. Bring one breath away from his presence showing up, because we live in that relationship. I don't want to be the type of friend with the Lord that only calls when I need something. Anybody know those friends? You don't have them, but you know someone else who has them. I want to be the type of friend that when God hears my voice, he says, that's Daniel. And he's not just calling because he needs something. He's calling just to spend time with me. Hallelujah. And Jeremiah said, call unto me and I will answer. I'll show you great and mighty things which you did not know. That word great and mighty means secret things, fenced in things, things he doesn't just show everybody. Hallelujah. There's very few people that could just come in my house and go anywhere they want to. Well, that's what God's inviting us to do. He's saying, you can come on in and you can have it all. Hallelujah. He wants to pour out his spirit. He has a plan for revival. He needs a people who will earnestly pray for revival. Hallelujah. And how many tonight would say, Daniel, I don't want God to just show up every now and then in North Carroll. Come on. Now, this church is blessed. Well, first off, they're blessed with leadership that hosts and welcomes the Holy Spirit. But it's also blessed because the Holy Spirit does move here. But how many would say, Daniel, I want even more? But I want more tonight. How many want to close out these revival services inviting God for a perpetual revival? Come on, how many want this to be a place of freedom? And we're talking about freedom tonight. There's just a theme in this house, and I feel it right now. And Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast in liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled down with the yoke of bondage. How many want people to be able to walk into this house entangled in the yoke of bondage, come down to this altar, be set free, and leave this house saying, I have been free and I'll never be the same? Hallelujah. How many want this to be the place? And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, here's the truth tonight. The truth is Jesus loves us. The truth is Jesus died for us. The truth is Jesus rose again from the grave for us. Hallelujah. The truth is Jesus loves us enough to baptize us in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. The truth is that Jesus wants to pour out his presence. The truth is Jesus can heal us. He can set us free. Hallelujah. He can deliver us from the hands of the enemy. The truth is that you can never go so far from his love that he will not accept you back. That's the truth that we're talking about. And I thank God I'm not blinded by the lies of the enemy, but I can walk in the revelation of the truth that says I am all that God says I am. I can do all he says I can do, and I can be all he says that I will be. Hallelujah. And tonight we ought to thank God. We ought to invite him in this place and not just say, God, thank you for what you did this week, but thank God for what you're going to do. Hallelujah. Lord, let this be a house of freedom. Hallelujah. And I feel that in my spirit. God is making this a house of freedom. Hallelujah. Well, people will walk in one way and leave another way saying, my life has been saved. He cleansed me. He turned my life around. Hallelujah. Woo. Shout out to my son die. He's here tonight. And he's saying to you, and he's saying to me, he's got a plan for revival. He's coming back, but until he comes back physically, he wants to show up spiritually. And this is the hour. God has the plan. We're the people. And this is the place. And in this place, let praise and prayer rise to the heavens. Hallelujah. And when they rise to the heavens, I want heaven to get so full tonight of our prayer and our praise that the heavens can't contain it. God showers down all of that, which he's promised. So tonight, let me ask you, who in here would say, Daniel, I want for God to pour out the Holy Spirit. I want revival fire to burn here at North Carroll Assembly. How many want that tonight? How many say, Daniel, I want it to start right here. It's got to start in us. I was in a little church in Tennessee. I first started preaching, and they sang a song, I'll never forget it. It said, Lord, send a revival, and let it start in me. What we need most is the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is free. Lord, send a revival. How many want God to send that revival? How many have a hunger in your hearts? I feel like, how many have been praying for God to do great and mighty things here at North Carroll Assembly? Come on, how many have been praying for mighty deliverances? I felt led, I think it was this morning or yesterday, to pray, and I feel like God wants to do this. Household salvations, when just one person comes in and gets saved, maybe be a kid in Royal Rangers or Missionettes, whatever it is, where their whole family turns around and gets saved, and the church continues to grow in household salvations, first-time radical transformations. How many want that kind of miracle-working power in this place? And I feel in my spirit, God is here, and he wants to right now pour out his freedom. Hallelujah. He wants to, he wants to pour out that Holy Spirit fire, power, and anointing that's available for you tonight. So here's what we're going to do. If you say, Daniel, I'm ready for God to pour out that Holy Ghost revival. I'm ready for God to pour out the Holy Spirit. I am ready for his physical coming, but until his physical coming, I want his spiritual coming, and I want it to happen right now. I want you to stand all across this sanctuary. How many want to enter into a season of suddenlies? Hallelujah. Come on. I feel that in my spirit. Tonight's just the first of many suddenlies that are about to happen. And I'm not just talking about physical things. I'm talking about spiritual things where suddenly you're going to wake up and realize your back's quit hurting. Hallelujah. Suddenly you're going to realize God set you free from this. Suddenly you're going to realize God took away the pressure in this area. Suddenly you're going to realize. How many want to walk in that suddenly anointing? Hallelujah. Then lift up your hands. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Lift up your voices all over this sanctuary. Lift it up. Hey, da da ba, kulti, ya da 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 ba, da ya, sa, da 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 Pastor and Debbie, can you just come stand right here facing each other? Can we have deacons and their wives? Can you all come down too? Deacons and their wives, just come face it. We're gonna prayer line. Hallelujah. Yeah, we probably ought to move that. Can you just begin to play some upbeat music? Yeah, deacons and their spouses, and the deaconesses. Y'all just get make two lines, women on one side, men on the other, and face each other. Men on the other, facing one another. And Butch, come on out the end of the line. Here's what I want to do. And I was telling Pastor, I don't do this unless I know God spoke to me. But how many tonight want to walk through into a supernatural dimension? I had a vision. Let's bring that down real quick. I had a vision one time, and in this vision, I was walking down a real long hallway. I mean, and God doesn't, I'm not the type of person that's getting visions all the time, so when I tell you God gave me one, it was from the Lord. And in this vision, I was walking down this real long hallway. It was not real wide, real long, about like, you know, in the middle of the aisle, just real long. And I kept walking and walking, seemed like I never was going to get to the end of the hallway. Then finally I got to the end of the hallway, opened up the door, and there was just fire all in there. And I remember saying, God, is that the fires of hell or the fire of the Holy Ghost? It was like he said, walk on in there and find out. And it was the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Well, I feel like maybe in the spirit right now, you feel like you've been walking down the hallway. You've had some good times walking down the hallway, but tonight God is saying, just go past the door and enter into the fire of the Holy Spirit. And the Hebrews says, our God is an all-consuming fire. Jesus, John said, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And on the day of Pentecost, what came down? Tongues like as of? When Elijah was fighting the prophets of Baal, he said, the God who answers by fire, let him be God. And I believe tonight God's going to start an outpouring of fire, and it's going to burn and burn and burn and burn and burn. Hallelujah. How many are ready for that tonight? If you'll turn up the music. Here's what I want us to do. I want everyone in this sanctuary just begin to gather over here, and someone get first in line. Just come on over. We're going to pray. Just come on around. You can begin to turn up the music, Billy. Whoever wants to go through first. How many have been in a prayer tunnel before? Here's what we're going to do. Hey, real quick, lift up your hands before you go through. Lift up your hands and take about 30 seconds and pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, pray out in the Holy Spirit. Pray out in the Holy Spirit. Now just come on through and receive that impartation. Hallelujah. And if you go through once and want to go through again, come on through again. Get all you can tonight. Come on up, Roger. Hallelujah. And don't worry about being dignified. We can move the line if we have to, all right? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 For the Lord would say to you this night that it hasn't changed from the day of Pentecost when my people are in one accord, praying together for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That is where I will show up. And this night, something miraculous has happened in the Spirit, says God. You have become one as a body. You have become one as a body. And you've received my gifts and you've received my callings and you are hungry for me and I will show up, saith God. Stay in unity. Stay in peace among yourselves. Stand strong. Never be divided. Never have leadership attack leadership. Stay united in the Spirit, saith God. And I will keep you one and I will keep you strong. Was it not division that tried to bring down in Acts chapter 6 where the scripture says that the Grecian women were not being, they were being neglected and they began to try to bring strife in there. But was it not the leadership that brought unity back and gave them an answer and picked out the deacons that they would bring peace and have the fullness of the Holy Spirit and have wisdom to minister grace to the body of Christ, saith God? Don't fall for the devil's tricks. I have brought you in unity this night, saith God. And I am lining things together. It is that army coming back together, bone to bone. Flesh coming on it, breathing spirit in it, rising up a mighty army that I will use in this house, saith God, for my glory and for my honor. Walk in humility. Stay small in your own eyes. Give me the glory and all the honor, and I will do great and mighty things as you know not. For thus saith the Lord, is it too hard for me to save your family? Is it too hard for me to heal your body and do miracles in your midst, saith God? Stay in unity, stay in peace, and I will increase my glory. It'll become a river to swim in. And whatever walks into it will come to life, saith God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Worship you, King Jesus. For you alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. Hallelujah. Jesus. Mm-hmm. Praise you, Jesus. I love you, prison. I love. I love you, Jesus.
I love.
Tell it to him tonight.
I love you, Lord Jesus.
I love you, Holy Spirit.
This revival started. Sister Cindy stood up here and said, God wants to pour out new wine. Amen. And he said he can't pour new wine in old wineskins. Amen. And I just felt it, and it just came back to me tonight when Sherry was playing that tonight about those chains being broken. I can see chains of religion. That's that old wineskin. I can see chains of fleshly pride that refuses to enter in to things that look foolish into the eyes of men, worrying about what other people might think about them. And God wants us tonight, and I believe we have, to shake off any chains, be a new wineskin, be flexible, be pliable. You know, you can't, the potter can't shake clay that's not pliable, that's hard and stiff, a hard heart that he can't mend and mold. A potter puts his hands and he puts water, that water of the Holy Spirit, on that lump of clay, this treasure in earthen vessels, begins to mold us and shape us. We have to follow his leadership. And sadly to say, throughout church history, there's a trail of old wineskins that refuse to do and go with what God is doing fresh and new. And I made it my prayer a long time ago, and we talked last Wednesday night about things to expect out of revival. Get rid of lukewarmness. I was telling Daniel, and I told you guys last Wednesday night, that there's one translation that God says that everything about that lukewarm Laodicean church made him want to vomit. Amen. And I'm speaking for myself. Revival, camp meeting is a good time to let the Holy Spirit make the proper adjustments in us that need to be made. Amen. If God puts his finger on things, don't get mad. Don't cast it aside. Because God is going to have a people that's going to obey him. that's going to be hungry for his presence. He's going to have that glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And he's looking for people that's hungry, that's not ashamed of him, not ashamed of his spirit, not ashamed of his power, not ashamed of his glory. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Jesus bore the shame of my sin. He hung naked, beaten on a cross. He hung there for 6 hours, spit on, beat, mocked, slapped, stripped naked. The very flesh ripped off of him. He did that for me. He did that for you. And if he's willing to do that for me, I don't care how crazy it looks to the world, I'm going to serve him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm going after Jesus and all that he has. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's moving in our church. God's doing things. God is building a habitation for the presence of Almighty God through the living stones, the body of Christ. Hallelujah. 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 I tell you, there's a freedom in here tonight. There's a freedom. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. We have to obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit. If you're here tonight, and I'm not going to ask you to stand up, raise your hand or nothing, but if you're here tonight, you've been resisting, or maybe you don't even resist it anymore because you don't even feel it anymore, the promptings of the Holy Spirit. There was a time in your life and the presence of God was so real and so strong, the still small voice of the Holy Spirit was alive and well on the inside of you. But somewhere along the line, you've maintained that salvation, but you haven't maintained that closeness with God. You have a head full of knowledge and proper knowledge of God's word, but still that sweet daily manna that comes from the Father. The communion, that sweet communion with God. You still go through the daily prayer time, the daily Bible study, going to church and all that. You haven't lost your salvation, but that fire and that glory and that passion for Jesus has drifted away. I want you to ask Jesus right now, right where you're at, to bring you back to that first love. Don't just stand back and say, God, it's time for somebody else to take over. Say, God, here I am. Forgive me, cleanse me, soften me. I choose to break up that fallow ground that you might come and rain down righteousness on me. And God, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father God, that every person in this church has a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit and a fresh, Father God, fire on the inside of the love of God, burning passionately for you, Jesus. Father, when we first got saved, when we were willing to lay down anything to serve you, when God, now we've held on to this, we've held on to that. Like Sherry said, that world just sucking the life out of us. God, right now, I thank you for renewal. I refuse to be an old wineskin. I refuse. Hallelujah. Father God, in the areas of my selfish pride, in the areas where I do concern too much about what somebody might think, help me in those areas, Lord. Help me in those areas. For the scripture says that the wicked flee when no man pursue, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Hallelujah. Give me that boldness, Lord God. Father, I thank you for sealing tonight in our spirits and in our church everything that you have accomplished this week, Lord God. Father, let it be sealed, God, that none of it leak out. Hallelujah. And let us continue to grow on it, Lord God, and continue to go from glory to glory. Reach your hand this way. Father, I pray for my brother. Father God, thank you for my precious brother Daniel. Father God, thank you for this treasure in the body of Christ. I ask you to continue to keep him strong. Refresh him, Lord God, tonight. Hallelujah. With that joy and the presence and the power of God. Father, let the sweet anointing of God continue to increase in his life. Grant him the desires of his heart, Father God. That which he has prayed and seen in the Spirit, Lord God, let it be manifest. Hallelujah. 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 Father God, just like that Macedonian call where Paul heard in the Spirit that man saying, that person saying, come over here and help.